If you take your Bible, please, this morning, and turn to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13. And while you're turning there, let me just, by way of introduction, say that on this past Wednesday evening, we finished up a 12-week series of lessons on the book of Joshua. And in one of those lessons, we spent the whole Bible study time looking at a man named Caleb. Caleb was one of the original 12 spies sent by Moses to check out the promised land ahead of time. And of course, what happened, if you're familiar with the story, 10 of those spies came back to Moses and reported an unfavorable report and said, we can't do it, we can't conquer the land. But two of those spies came back with a favorable report and said, we can do it with God's help. God will help us conquer that land. Let's go get it. And those two spies with the favorable report were Joshua, who would go on to become the leader of Israel after the death of Moses, and the other one was Caleb. And the book of Joshua describes for us the inheritance that Caleb received because he was faithful to God. But God has laid on my heart again this morning to preach on Caleb. But this time, not from the book of Joshua, but from the book of Numbers. And this time, we're not going to be looking so much at his inheritance as we are his life. And since this is Father's Day, a day dedicated to men, we're going to consider the description of a man of God as drawn from the life of Caleb. And so let's pray and we'll get started. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word and for the opportunity once again to look into it. Guide us and direct us into the truth through the working of your Holy Spirit, and help us to take what we learn and use it in our lives in a practical way so that we might be what you would have us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Most of us hope and dream of making a difference in this life. We dream of being a success. And as Christian men, we dream of being used by God to make a lasting impact in this world. But this morning, I want you to know that that doesn't happen by accident. And so this morning, I would like us to look at the qualities required of a man of God, the type of man that God wants us to be. And so, ladies, sit back and relax. You get the morning off. Although, I'm sure there will be things in the message that will apply to you. But if you got your Bible open now to Numbers chapter 13, we'll read a few verses from this chapter. We'll start with verses 1 and 2. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. So this is what God tells Moses to do. Now, go down to verses 18 and 19, where Moses is actually sending these men out. He tells them, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And in the next few verses, those men go to spy out the land. Now, let's pick up in verse 26, where they come back with their report. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." And the fruit of it is a reference to these giant bunches of grapes from the area of Eshcol, grape bunches that were so big that it took two men to even carry one of them. And then he continues on, verse 28, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." The children of Anak were giants that lived in the land. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with them said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight.'" Now, if you're familiar with this entire story, you know that God used Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. God then led them through the Red Sea and closed it behind them to destroy the army that was following them. And Moses then led them to Mount Sinai, where God gave them the Ten Commandments. And from there, Moses led them to the Jordan River. And on the other side of that river was their new home, the promised land that they dreamed about for centuries as they worked as slaves in Egypt. But before God allowed them to enter the land, he told Moses to send out these 12 men, leaders of the 12 tribes, to go into the promised land and spy it out and bring them back a report. Those 12 spies then checked out the land. They stayed 40 days. And as I said at the beginning of the message, when they came back, 10 of the leaders said the land was filled with giants and there was no way they could beat them. But two of those men, Joshua and Caleb, were different. They told the people to trust God and that God would give them the victory. Now, the questions facing us this morning as Christian men, the questions your family and your country need desperately for you to answer are these. What kind of man will you be? What makes the difference? And in considering these things, there are three things I want to mention this morning as we consider those questions. Number one, the man of God has a resource that others ignore. Just flip over to chapter 14 for a moment and look at verse 24. It says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." So verse 24 says Caleb was different because he had a different spirit in him. Have you ever noticed how some people complain about every setback and difficulty that comes his or her way, while others seem to take it in stride and just go on with life. Have you noticed how some people work and try to get ahead, while others are always looking for an easier way or a shortcut to success? What makes the difference? The answer is this. What's inside makes the difference. You know, at my house, I have several flashlights. Some of them give off no light, and others can fill the house with light. What's the difference? Here's the answer. Some have dead batteries, and some have charged batteries. It's what's inside that makes the difference. Think a moment of two balloons, one filled with water. It sits on the ground, weighed down and unable to rise. The other, filled with helium, pulls at its core. It's always straining to rise towards the heavens. And again, it's what's inside that makes the difference. And the same is true of men. What is the thing that makes the difference between a man who's always straining towards heaven and a man who is content to call this world his home? What is the difference? The answer is the spirit that's in him. In order to be a man of God, you must have God's spirit in you. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus long ago that he needed to be born of the Spirit. As long as you continue on trying to do your best without accepting Jesus Christ, you'll never be all you can be. You will never achieve all you could achieve. You will never stand where you could have stood. You see, the Holy Spirit is the resource of a godly man. And so I'll just, you know, right here as we start off, I'll ask the question, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Have you called out to him and invited him into your heart to forgive your sins and give you everlasting life? And if not, that is your greatest need, because it's only then that the Holy Spirit comes in and takes up residence in you. And his presence in you is what makes you a man of God. He is the resource that can help you to be the man God wants you to be. But without him, you will never be all you can be. And you will never achieve all you could have achieved. The Holy Spirit is the resource of the man of God. And so a man of God has a resource that others ignore. He has the Holy Spirit in him to lead him, to guide him, to direct him, and to strengthen him. Now here's number two. A man of God acts differently than others. You'll notice here in verse 24, it not only says that Caleb had another spirit with him, but it says, he hath followed me fully. Caleb followed the Lord fully. And that's what we need to do. Acting like a man of God pretty much involves four things. First of all, you must follow the Lord completely. There was no hypocrisy in Caleb. He was not willing to follow the Lord only when things were safe or only at church where people who believed like he did surrounded him. No, he followed the Lord completely. He lived for the Lord every day of his life. He followed the Lord fully. And oh, how we need the Lord to send us more men like him today. Men who are willing to follow the Lord completely. Men who know what is right and who know what is wrong and who are willing to stand and be counted. You see, when it says that Caleb followed the Lord fully, it means that Caleb was willing to do whatever needed to be done. Whatever the Lord called him to do, he did it. When the spies were returning from Canaan, Caleb was not too proud to carry a bunch of grapes. He didn't think manual labor was beneath him. No, he put his shoulder to the job at hand and did the work. And let me tell you, Christian men, if you are too important to do some lowly job for Jesus, if you're too good to serve in some position then really what it comes down to is you're too good for God to use. There are far too many Christians, preachers included, who believe certain jobs are beneath them. And if you think you're too good or too qualified or too gifted to do menial tasks for the Lord, like maybe mowing the church yard or raking the church leaves or cleaning the church bathroom or vacuuming the church carpet. If you think you're too good to do that kind of work, let me remind you that Jesus, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, the creator of the universe, washed the disciples' dirty feet. See, a man of God follows the Lord completely. That is, he is willing to do whatever the Lord asks him to do. A man of God acts differently because he follows the Lord fully. He follows the Lord completely, willing to do whatever the Lord calls him to do. That describes Caleb, and it should describe you and I as well. Now, here's the next one. To act as a man of God, we must follow the Lord cheerfully. Cheerfully. It amazes me the number of people in our churches today who act like, or at least look like, they've just lost their last friend. They come to church on Sunday morning looking like they had lemons and dill pickle juice for breakfast. It breaks my heart when I see people like working in the church who act like it's an obligation or a chore they have to do. I remember many years ago preaching in a little small rundown church in one of our country's poorest sections of Appalachia. I'd been invited to speak at this little mountain church. And at this church, they had a group of ladies and girls who would come every single week and scrub the floor of the church. They'd get down on their hands and knees with brushes and they'd scrub the floor of the church. The church was a little rundown place. It had no landscaping or anything, a lot of dirt around it. So people would track dirt in the church and they would come and they would clean. And I was standing outside of that church one day and I was talking with the pastor and he stopped. He said, "Listen." And as I listened, those ladies inside who were on their hands and knees scrubbing that floor, they were singing God's praises. They were testifying to one another the goodness of God. They were just having a wonderful time of fellowship together and fellowship with God. It was the most wonderful thing. You see, they didn't have much, but they were so excited about the building God had given them and about the change he had made in their lives, and they were so grateful for the opportunity that they had to show their love for him by scrubbing that floor. As poor as they were, they just rejoiced in the opportunity to serve the Lord. And you know, that's the type of service God wants from his children. Breaks my heart when I see people who aren't even happy about attending a worship service, let alone serving the Lord. But let me tell you, if you're just serving the Lord out of obligation, if that's the way you feel, then don't do it. Don't do it. God doesn't need slaves in his service. He's the Lord of the Empire of love. He wants men and women and boys and girls to serve him cheerfully because they love him and because they're grateful for all he has done for them. You know, Jesus said that he would build his church. And he can do it without the complainer's labor or without the miser's money. But on the other hand, if you want to be a man of God, you have to serve the Lord cheerfully. As David said so many times in the book of Psalms, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's part of being the man God wants you to be. Serving the Lord cheerfully. So being a man of God means that you act differently than others do. You follow the Lord completely. You follow the Lord cheerfully. And then also, you follow the Lord constantly. Now, I need you to keep a marker or something here in the book of Numbers and turn over to the book of Joshua for just a moment. Joshua chapter 14. And once you're in Joshua chapter 14, go down to verse 10. We'll read verses 10 and 11. It says, "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive." This is Caleb speaking. "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." We must follow the Lord constantly. From the day Caleb first began following the Lord until the day of his death, he followed the Lord constantly. 45 years after he had first gone as a spy, Caleb was still following the Lord. In all those years, he had never joined the complainers. And he never quit asking what God wanted him to do. At age 85, you don't find Caleb sitting in the rocking chair watching the world go by and talking about the good old days. No, he is still working in God's kingdom, looking forward to the next challenge. See, men of God act differently because they follow the Lord constantly. From the very moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, till the very moment you see him face to face, you are to serve him. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." And so to act like a man of God, you follow the Lord completely, you follow the Lord cheerfully, you follow the Lord constantly. And then here's the fourth one. I said it involved four things. You must follow the Lord faithfully. Faithfully. Now, when I say faithfully, I mean Caleb followed God with faith. When Caleb and the other spies returned from the promised land and gave their reports, the others talked of giants and walled cities. They wanted to return to Egypt and the things they were missing out on by following God, but not Caleb. When Caleb looked back, he remembered the chains and the bondage of Egypt. And he remembered the miracles of God, and he had faith. He said, "If God will pull us through those difficulties, if he worked in the past, he will continue to do so now." Caleb had faith. And men, if you want to be used of God, you must follow with faith. When the difficulties arise, when finances are tight, when sickness strikes your home, when trouble comes, and when opportunities arise, you need to speak up. remembering how God has provided and protected in the past, and reminding others that the God we serve is not some wimpy little pretend God that we just give lip service to, but that he is the faithful, almighty, miracle-working, loving God. In difficulties, a man of God has faith, and that makes him act differently from other people. And so a man of God first has a resource that others ignore. He has the power of the Holy Spirit living within him. Secondly, a man of God acts differently than other people. That is, he serves the Lord completely, cheerfully, constantly, faithfully. And then here's number three. A man of God enjoys rewards that others miss. Now go back with me to Numbers 14, please. It says in Numbers 14, 24, we already read it, but we'll read it again. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, notice now, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And then go down a little further in this chapter and begin at verse 36, and we'll read through verse 38. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the Lord, those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. A man of God enjoys rewards others miss. You say, Pastor, what kind of reward you talking about? First of all, your needs will be met. The first reward you will enjoy by selling out to God is that your needs will be met. The verses we just read tell us that the ten who rebelled against God died, but Joshua and Caleb lived. See, when you look after God's honor, he'll look after you. A number of years ago, I read how Queen Elizabeth had asked a merchant to go over to Holland to take care of some business for her. And when she told him what she had in mind, he complained. He said, "If I do your majesty's business, my own business will be ruined." And the queen's response was this: "You do my business, and I will take care of your business." And you know, the same thing is true of God. When you're willing to give your life to serve God, he will take care of you. Jesus promised us that. In Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Your needs will be met. And then also, not only will your needs be met, but you will be honored. God will bring you honor. In the beginning, people made fun of Caleb. They wanted to stone him and Joshua. He had no respect and no honor. But by the time the Israelites reached the banks of the Jordan River again, all the older men were dead, except Joshua and Caleb. All those other 10 spies, their carcasses littered the wilderness. But now Joshua and Caleb were held in honor at the council meetings. I imagine they asked him again and again to tell them about the miracles God did in Egypt. He was honored among men because they saw that he was different. They saw
that God's hand was on him. And they honored him because of it. And do you know that God promises you the very same thing? If you will faithfully serve him and faithfully live for him. In James 4:10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of God. That is, surrender yourself, yield yourself, submit yourself to him and obey him. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's a reward of a man of God. And then here's number three, you'll be remembered. You'll be remembered. Because of the life Caleb lived, he was put on the most difficult jobs. If there was a task no one else could handle, it was given to Caleb. He was given the responsibility to conquer the area of Hebron. That's the area where the sons of Anak lived, the giants. And in that area, there were these three huge warriors who were in charge of the armies. No one would try to kill them. No one would even face them except Caleb. Those giants with six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot needed to be driven out so God's people could possess the land. But who would do it? Joshua basically says, I know, let's get Caleb. And sure enough, Caleb, at 85 years old, faced those giants and defeated them so the land was safe for God's children. And man, if you walk with God, I guarantee you, you will be given difficult tasks. You will be given difficult jobs. But when you leave, you'll leave with shoes that are hard to fill. Because men who walk with God are hard to find. You will be remembered. And then finally, you will leave an inheritance for your children. I envy any man who will leave a godly inheritance for his children. What did Caleb leave his children? He left them the blessing of a nation who knew the Lord, and he left them the example of a godly father. I want you to know this morning that the Lord is issuing a call for godly men in our midst and all across this land, even this very day. He's looking for men who will take up the call and follow him. He's looking for men who will walk with him constantly and who will stand for right and who will invest their lives in something that will last forever. And the question is, are you that kind of man? Will your children remember how you loved the Lord? Will they remember seeing you read your Bible? Will they have a memory of the many times they heard their names mentioned as you lifted them up in prayer? Will they remember how your walk with God impacted every relationship and how it impacted your attitude during the week? Will they have a memory of how God blessed you because he was first in your life? What spiritual inheritance are you leaving for the next generation? May God help us to be men of God like Caleb. Men who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Men who will live differently. And men who leave behind a godly heritage for the glory and honor of God, and for the benefit of the next generation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. and for the opportunity to look into these pages of your blessed book this morning. We thank you for the example of Caleb, and we pray, dear God, that you'd help us to take to heart that example. Lord, as men, help us to be the men we ought to be. Help us to love you, live for you, serve you faithfully. And then, Lord, I pray for the same thing for the ladies who've been listening today. Although this message has been directed at the men, Lord, I pray that you'd fill our churches with ladies who love you and live for you and serve you faithfully as well. Help us as your children to leave behind a godly heritage for the next generation. Help us to be the people of God that we ought to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.